the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman. I realized recently that I always announce the podcast, you know, Approaching the Natural podcast, but there's an intro. And I put the intro in there, so I don't really need to say the approaching the rough start this week, you guys. Rough start. It's gonna be okay. Hang with me, especially if you're just joining me. If you haven't turned it off already, 22 seconds in, really, you're gonna hit pause that fast? Bear with me. Welcome to everybody, one and all, especially to to everybody, but also to the people who've been here, and to those who are joining me for the first time. Glad you're here. And what I do each week is come to you with ideas and discussions and conversations around living better in the modern world. I mean, that's the short story on this. I have a unique brand of small steps that I believe wholeheartedly enables people to do that better. But I'm also here to remind you every week that everyone, that living better in the modern world is not about weight loss. It's not weight loss. It's not muscles. It's not any particular thing. It is bigger than all of those things. It's a bigger picture. And when we focus on the bigger picture aspect of living better in the modern world, I think we do better. And we don't get caught up in the minutiae of necessarily looking at a scale. I think that people who want to lose weight, and I just had some good classes at the Wellness Center over the weekend, so this is kind of coming off that, but I think that people who focus on losing weight are going to rob themselves of potential happiness. And that's at all completely not to say that being at a healthy weight doesn't help somebody be happy. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that focusing on the real goal of why we do what we do, especially when it comes to health fads and everything else, is lest we forget. What we're looking at is we're looking at ways to help us be happy and feel good in our bodies. Noble pursuits, I completely 100% am behind. I just think that we think that they're about a diet, and that's not what it is. That's the wolf in sheep's clothing. And so we go, oh, diet, that's going to deliver our happiness. And it's not. We got to take care of our own happiness, and the weight will follow, and all the things that we associate with happiness will follow. We'll hit a healthy weight because we'll be healthy, and we'll have happy relationships because we're happy. And that's how we roll. And that's how I roll every week on the on this here podcast. 115 episodes in. Kidding me? 115 episodes? I mean, Christmas. Every week. Actually, once a year. For 115 years, I have been coming here to you. No, once a week. Isn't that amazing? Once a week. I got a tweet from a guy who, I don't even know if he's listening to this one, because he said he went back from the beginning. And he's on episode 4. And he was like, dude, second half of episode 4, that's the best. Like, I hit my, that's when I peaked. Kind of like when I was president of my 8th grade, like kindergarten through 8th, definitely hit my high point. I mean, it's sort of been a steady decline ever since then. Do you think that I believe that? I don't. Okay? I'm doing cool stuff. Now, was I more impressive to Christy Zimbalist when I was in 8th grade? Yeah, of course. Of course I was. But I can't fix the past. It's all about the now, you guys. Did you hear last week's episode? Good. This episode is brought to you by Mendocino Coast 50K. Boom. That's my race. I'm just going to keep this going. It's going to bore the crap out of you guys until the race happens April 23rd, 2016. Website Mendocino Ultra. Got some cool sponsors. Got the Stanford Inn, of course. Jonah Jeff again. Yeah, we'll do it. Fine. Visit Mendocino County. I got Ultima Replenisher. They're going to do like the electrolyte spiel. I got Mama Chia that has these whole food kind of gel-like things, but I'm all about that. And some cool things developing there. I think that's going to be an excellent thing. People are signing up. This is not a big race, you guys. I'm capping it at 100 people. And if I get to 100, I'll be amazed. That's not my goal. I want to do this little cool kind of ragtag kind of thing and just put it together and have fun for the day. That's what I'm looking at. I don't want the pressure of too big, maybe down the line, but first year, man, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm wading through uncharted territory day by day. If you think that doesn't relate and to this practice, you got another thing coming. I mean, part of this practice by small stepping is to open yourselves up to things you never thought you would ever do. Do you think I ever thought I was going to race direct an ultra marathon. I mean, I didn't even know what an ultra marathon was 3 years ago. I didn't even know what one was. Guess what else I didn't know what one was? A podcast. Didn't know what a podcast was. Didn't know what a podcast was. Thought you had to have an iPod to have a podcast. I mean, this is the things. I'm okay admitting that now. 115 episodes in. Got my mushroom hot chocolate going on there. Mushroom hot chocolate. On the dial back day. More on that later. By the way, so I've got the Mendocino Ultra is on Twitter. You know, it's me, but it's at Mendocino Ultra. If you want to follow that on Twitter, go ahead. But one of the people that, one thing that came to follow me today, Mendocino Ultra, was Cape Wrath Ultra. So Cape, little short story on Cape Wrath. I actually knew what it was, which is a mind blower. And I saw the email come in saying, Cape Wrath Ultra is now following you. And I was like, holy crap, can it be? Can it be? And my wife was there and I was like, you know, she scowled because I should never sound like that. but anyway, Cape Wrath is in Scotland. I've actually been there. It's like the northwest corner of mainland Scotland, like as far as you can go in mainland Scotland. And so there's an ultra marathon and it's like a 7-8 day thing, like 240 miles over 8 days. I mean, I'm just like, yes, I know, but I can't. It's in May. I can't do it. But man, would that be fun. This so beautiful. So beautiful. Cape Wrath Ultra. Been there. Kind of a Scottophile, if you didn't know by now. If you're just joining me, you're going to be going back to some old episodes, which I highly recommend you do. And you'll see that on occasion I'll be sipping a single malt scotch. That's part of that whole picture of me loving the Scots. And I'm also going to the Edinburgh Veg Fest in freaking August of next year, August 6th and 7th, 2015. I'll be at the Hellfest April 1st through 3rd as well. Just got an email from them about booking flights and stuff, and they're fly you into Shreveport, Louisiana. Didn't see that coming because it's in Texas. So I just assumed you fly into Texas to get to Marshall, Texas, but you don't. You fly into Shreveport, Louisiana. Have never been there. So maybe I'll show up a day early and wander around the streets. That's kind of my thing. Okay. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, Sid Garza-Hillman. Followers on Strava coming in all the time. Loving that. Following you right back. Done. It's a done deal. I don't care who you are. I mean, I care, but you could just be like the craziest Strava person ever. And I'm just going to follow you back. I don't care. I just want I love it. I love it. iTunes review, always helpful. Got a new one within the last few days. Very nice. You know, I mean, just super cool. Makes me feel good. And thanks for that. Helps the podcast, right? SidGarzaHillman.com is where you'll find all things about me. And you can donate to the podcast there. And you can buy Approaching the Natural merchandise. But I just added a thing that I wanted. And I told you last week that the book that I wrote makes a great holiday gift because it's a little hip pocket thing. Fits in a stocking on top of a menorah. Whatever you want. But what I added to the website was this, and I think this is kind of fun. So if you're into this, just do it. It helps me, helps the podcast. It's win-win. You can buy a custom signed book. And here's what I mean. It's not just like you get a book with my signature in it, okay? And I typically won't sign my own books. I actually hire President Obama and I'll have just him sign my books because I don't have the time. I don't have the time. But this is a custom signed book. And so you buy the book. The price there is a couple bucks more, and I email you when you buy it, and you email me back exactly what you want me to write in the book. So custom signed Christmas gifts, you know, I'll even write Nutty Nut Nut. That's another grand on top of it. Just if you get Nutty Nut Nut in my handwriting, I mean, please, are you kidding me? You can eBay that for something, maybe. Okay. So anyway, that's at SidGarzaHillman.com. Good. Head up the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn, and we got a bunch of retreats, 15% off the running retreat in March. It's exhausting. Go back to all the other episodes in the last six, and you'll hear all these things. I did cut a Portland Veg Fest. I got the video up, but I'm also cutting a Thanksgiving video that should be up within days. I'm actually using a new editing program, so I'm sort of learning a new thing as I'm also cutting this video, so it's a little bit taking me a little bit longer. But I do get questions about holidays a lot and you know, the idea of the feast. And I actually did a blog post on it. If you if you don't get my blogs, you should sign up on the website and you can get the blogs. I don't blog a ton, but when I do, It's for a reason. And the last announcement I can make, if you're listening to this before Wednesday, December 2nd, is that my book is part of a No Meat Athlete bundle, which is, it really is amazing. Like, it's 22 different books for $49. And so it's everybody just sort of chips in their thing and to the No Meat Athlete thing. So the Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, my book is part of that bundle. You can go to my Facebook page, Sid Garza Hillman, and you can click on the link there and it'll take you right to it and you can do that. But it's before Wednesday at like December 2nd, 2015 at 10 a.m. And literally it shuts off. Like, there's no, if you go 10:01, it's not going to happen. Okay? Okay. Let's get into some business here. I'm on a dial back day today. And I think it was last week where I've sort of morphed my dial back day. What I'm finding, and this is not an excuse, this is just a few things going on, which is kind of interesting to me as I listen to my own thought processes and notice my own kind of just the way that I'm approaching these things. So for those of you just joining me, a dial back day, hashtag, is a day that I choose per week on average, but again, it's my most of the time, so sometimes I don't. When I got back from Portland, I didn't. But last week I did. And it's a day that I just dial back. I spend a day just in a sense breaking the routine, but kind of I just say resetting my clock, kind of grounding myself. However that is for you. Sometimes for me, most of the time, it's been a fruit-only day. Last week, you know, given the holiday that was coming up and stuff, I did sort of fruit only and a big salad. I had intended to do fruit only and a big fruit only today. But what I'm finding is that the cold weather is bumming me out. And it has nothing to do with, like, have you ever heard, like, I just need warming food? It doesn't really work like that in the body. Like, you feel a little warmer while you're drinking coffee, but the body sort of gets it into its balance. And it's not like drinking 170-degree coffee makes your body 170 degrees. Your body sort of deals with it to get it back to its own temperature. That's that back there. But there's definitely, like, a mental comfort in that. And I notice it's like 30 degrees in the morning. And I know that people are like, "That's, you're such a wuss." But the thing is, it's cold for me. And so when I get home, it's dark because of daylight savings time, which I can't stand. And it's cold. So anyway, these are not excuses. I'm noticing that I'm not getting through the fruit only days as easy. So today I decided to do, again, the salad, but no dessert. And that's the thing for me, is the dessert is the killer. Because I've noticed, and this, to be clear, for those of you just joining me, this is not restriction. This is not for restriction's sake. This is not to dial back for no reason. This is for the purpose of resetting my clock. Why? Because it makes me feel better. But how that looks to me each week can change how it looks. It's whatever works. I do like having one day where I do something that I'm not usually doing, and it just helps me reset the clock. I've been getting some good feedback from people who are doing it and who are taking it on, and they see what that is. They see what it's like to wake up the next day and be like, okay, I dial back. And it's like, you're engaged. It's a tool to engage. But the things that come across my brain in the process of even just in trying a dial back day are the messages of course, of restriction and all these kinds of things. And I'm making sense of these things. And I'm going, if it's really about restriction, I don't want to do it, actually. I only want to do it if it makes me feel good, if there's a payoff for that. I also like the idea that I can assess my level of health and energy and say, okay, well, some days fruit is a really appropriate all day because I've been, you know, lugging or whatever. And so I want that kind of juice, no pun intended, because I don't do juice, but you know, feeling really energetic the next day. Again, that whole process of engaging like that, and usually it's in my car, so it's not really stealing any time away from anything meaningful, gets me to a point where I'm like, okay, this is where I'm at on this today. So today I'm having a big salad, but no dessert. Why? Because the dessert is the thing that I regret some days. Some days, no. But I find myself going to the dessert, and I don't really want it. And afterwards, I'm like, totally didn't need that. And that's just, you know, that you're tired, you're fatigued. It was a long weekend. I worked both days on my weekend. I had to go in to teach, which I love teaching, but it was just that thing. So today I was like, okay, I'm doing fruit all day. That was how I intended. But around noon, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to kick on fruit up until dinner, have a big salad, no dessert, and I'm good with that. I may stick with that. And I think the cold weather just plays into that a little bit, even though, of course, ironically, the salad is not hot, but it's just, I don't know, there's something about it. So whatever. The one of the people doing the Dahlbach Days in Australia. And for them, it's warm because Australia has to do everything opposite. You know, summer where I am, winter Australia. You know what, Australia? It's not opposite day where you live, okay? It's not, Australia is not in like a full countrywide opposite day, okay? Do you guys like put your shirt on backwards because you got to prove some freaking point? Seasons are seasons. Stick with, summer is summer everywhere, okay? I'm not a I don't know geography. Look. I'm not a climatologist. I just know summer is freaking summer. Okay, so don't dial back that and make it winter where you are. It's ridiculous. Okay. On that note of listening to sort of yourself, I get a lot, and this is also comes from the classes. I love teaching classes because it's just, you know, for it's personal. And I get to talk to people and it's very cool and everyone's excited and then they want to learn stuff and it's just awesome. So a couple notes on that, okay? On the Dahlbach, I'm not done with that yet. Okay, so the question is, I ask myself, is how much do I need? And if I can assess myself and say, okay, all in all, things are doing well via my energy. Am I getting sick? Do I feel fatigued? Am I sleeping okay? Am I running okay? I mean, for me today, like I am, those are fine. I'm fine. Did I have a week of a little bit of indulgence with Thanksgiving? Sure. And I am dialing back today as a result. So I'm not keeping that train running, but I'm dialing back. But I'm not dialing back like a massive amount. I'm just kind of tweaking a little bit and it's definitely taken me out. I'm not in robot mode today. I'll put it that way. I'm not in robot mode. I'm fully in that good present place and it feels good. Okay. On a completely side note, dessert is sort of my downfall. Like I got a sweet tooth and it blows my mind how, and I was talking to one of the people that I taught over the weekend because they had this same sort of experience, but it blows my mind that my children sometimes will say, oh, that's too sweet. Like they won't like something because it's too sweet. I can't process that way of thinking. It makes me think that they're not actually my children. Like my wife and I look at each other and go, what does too sweet mean? What does that even mean? And they'll have like a cookie and they'll not finish it. Like they'll fit, like, especially when they were littler, like they'll just not finish a cookie. Like that blows my mind. I've never not finished a cookie in my entire life. I've almost never finished a whole bag of Numina Oreos. I've almost not never finished a whole bag. Okay, break that down grammatically and you'll see what I mean. But what it comes down to, of course, my kids have calibrated differently than I did. And I ate, you know, comparatively, I guess when I was growing up fairly well, but I was on fast food and stuff. And we'd go, when I was a kid, like in elementary school, we'd go to the little pharmacy thing after school and get Hostess. You know, like get a Hostess apple pie, which is, by the way, paradise. And the corner of an apple pie, I don't know if you know this, but the corner of a Hostess apple pie, like the corners, wars have been fought over the corners of those Hostess apple pies because they're the best things ever. Most of those wars existed in my brain at around 25 when I realized I probably shouldn't be eating this anymore because I'm gaining weight and I don't feel very well, but just saying. So, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. But anyway, it blows my mind. And it speaks to the calibration of us. It speaks to when you create it, most of the time, your body adjusts to that. And so it's not like my kids long or even know what that is sweetness-wise. They just do what they've done and it's a little easier for them. Now, as they're getting older, they've had things like candy. They've tasted the Jolly Rancher. And so they're sort of getting like, oh, so that's what sweet is. Right? And there's that little bing bong in the brain. And so we got to be careful to minimize those things in the house so that I don't put my kids in the same conflict that I would put myself in if I had Numina Oreos in the house right now. Yeah, because I don't want to put myself in that conflict. I want to set myself up for success most of the time and indulge when appropriate. Who determines when that's appropriate? I determine when that's appropriate. I determine when it's time to feast. I determine when it's time to dial back. But I like that I can do both of those things to help me keep my balance. I'm not doing them every other day. I don't feast and then famine and feast and dial back and feast. I just, you know, once in a while, one day a week, I do a little dial back action. And most of the time I'm doing fruit during the day anyway. So it's not, like I've talked about, not a huge dial back. And then other days we're out at a party or we have Thanksgiving and it's game on and I want to be able to enjoy when I make the decision to do that. I don't want to feel bad about it. I want to do that and know that I can dial back in a few days and kind of reset my clock. It works for me. Try it on for you. Don't do it because I do it. Don't do it because I do it, but give it a shot. See what you think. All right. On that note with the whole body thing and paying attention to yourself, it occurred to me, and this is horse related, and I apologize in advance. I'm not going to go all horse all the time here, but I do have a horse. My daughter, her name's Maury. I mean, my daughter's name is not Maury, but the horse's name is Maury. And I think it's actually she's a rescued thoroughbred, and I actually think it's really interesting because her first name was Money because her old owner called her Money because she used to race her and make money from her, which is kind of crappy. Didn't like that at all. And so anyway, my wife's cousin who gave her to us had already changed her name to Maury, so it would sound similar to her old name for the horse's sake, but just felt not good about the fact that a horse was called Money. Couldn't be more in line with that for me. Anyway, so Maury travels here from Idaho, and she's like a 19-year-old horse, which is old, pretty old for horse-wise, and gets here and gets off the trailer, and we hired a professional mover or whatever, and so they got there, and she was ruffled, and she kind of, you could tell she was a little out of sorts, and over the next week and a half, one of her legs was a little swollen, and so we've been working with her on that with a homeopath and all this kind of cool stuff, and it's actually working, the swelling's coming down. But what occurred to me is that, she, you know, in that travel, which I think was stressful for her, just like travel can be stressful for us, there's no way to, she can't communicate via the same language that we have. She can't turn to me and freaking Mr. Ed it up and just be like, my leg hurt, you know, whatever. But she is communicating. Her body is communicating, and not even her. She's not deciding to make her leg swollen. The body is communicating a stress to which we can then respond to. And I find it very interesting that in a way our bodies do the exact same thing. And we have the ability of language. But the thing is there's sometimes there's conflict where we will say, I'm not under stress. I have no stress in my life. I eat fine. I feel great. But our bodies are telling us a different story via inflammation, via overweight, via sickness, via a whole, you know, you name it. I mean, the things that are ailing our bodies. And we can actually use language in conflict with that. We can say, I got it. Yeah, I'm totally fine. Totally fine. Totally healthy. But our bodies are telling a different story. And when listening to your body, because I kind of have a pet peeve about just listen to your body. If your body's craving duck, then you probably need protein. I don't think that that's true. I just don't think that's true. It's never hooked up for me. I've never seen that occur where somebody I believe is in tune. In fact, the reality is if you truly craved protein, given the structure of the human body and the length of our intestines and the pH level of our stomachs and our ability to claw things with opposable thumbs, not claw, but grab, clutch, if you will. If you craved spinach, if you craved protein, really, you would crave spinach. Because it fits more toward our body. It has more protein in it than beef. Spinach is 40% protein. But the thing about it is, like I talked about last week, where we hyper-focus on the macronutrients, protein, fat, carbohydrate, and almost nothing on the micro, we would crave spinach because not only is there a ton of protein in spinach, there's all the things that help our bodies run well. If we had a real craving for protein, why wouldn't we go to the best protein source we could find? And this is how I define the best protein source we can define. Protein that comes with all the stuff that makes our machine run well. And incidentally, when you're talking about weightlifting and weight gain, and everyone goes, oh, I'm lifting weights, I've got to have more protein. What you need, again, as I've mentioned it before, your body has an amazing ability to recycle its own protein. It knows what it's doing when you give it the tools. Things like, and don't buy supplements of this, I'm just saying, things like B6 and zinc, they actually, guess what, help your body utilize protein. If you lift weights, you're probably going to need to eat more because you're doing more work. And when you do more work, you burn more energy doing that work. Fine. And you need to refuel with that energy. You need to get more energy back in your body so you can continue to do the work without fatiguing or getting sick or breaking down. But the fact of the matter is how you refuel, what you put back in your body is of ultimate importance if you're discussing health. If you're just discussing getting big pecs, yeah, there's men and women all over the world who are drinking whey protein shakes and getting big pecs. Why? Because your body's still going to respond to the stress of lifting weights. It's still going to say, okay, he or she is putting 100 pounds on this bar and lifting it repeatedly. I better grow muscle in the appropriate areas to, guess what, achieve balance with that until what happens? It becomes easy to do 100 pounds. And then, of course, we put more weight on. And when we put more weight on the bottom, it goes, oh crap, I just got to the point where I was easy, fine, okay, I'll build more, no, never ending. And then you look like friggin', you know, Michelin Man, but in muscle wise. And so the body is responding. But what the body needs to do to be healthy and do that is it, yes, it needs the fuel source and it needs protein, sure, and it also needs fat and carbohydrate, but it needs the things that help the body utilize energy and process energy and not be filled with waste and not be filled with a bunch of breakdown and injury in its efforts to counteract stress. And that's what we're doing. We're making our bodies deal with stress without the tools to deal with stress effectively. And that's the crux of human health, no matter what the stress you're doing, if it's running, if it's lifting weights, if it's going to work and having a stressful day at work. We're expecting our bodies and minds to deal with these things and to achieve best balance we can, but we're not feeding our bodies well to achieve the best health we can and happiness we can in the modern world. So the pet peeve of mine is listening to our bodies. Well, if listening to your bodies, you have to listen in the language that your body speaks. The language that your body speaks is the body's response to stress via physical manifestation of that stress, if it's overwhelming, i.e. arthritis, plantar fasciitis, you know, bursitis, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, cancer, overweight, skin rashes, you know, all the things, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, all the things that are happening to us, chronic fatigue, you know, autoimmune diseases of a huge amount, right? Because this is all like kind of new stuff with what we're chronically under stress and our immune systems as a result of that chronic stress are weakened. Yes, we're going to be more susceptible to things like autoimmune disease when we put hand sanitizer on our hands all day and take antibiotics for everything. Yes, we're going to be more prone to autoimmune diseases and a whole bunch of other stuff that happens when you rob your body of the bacteria that's crucial to its survival and health. So listen to your body means take its language. Don't expect it to talk to you about when you have a craving for Ben and Jerry's, that's your language. You're picturing Ben and Jerry's. That's not your body going somehow communicating to you via a swollen ankle that it needs freaking Ben and Jerry's. You're Ben and Jerry-ing it up in your own language. That's not your body's language. Listen to your body. If you're overweight, if you have too much weight, or if you're too skinny, that's your body going, man, can you help me out here? Can you help me out here? I'll do the business. Can you just give me the stuff to do it? Because I'll do it. Can you help me out? I'm getting injured all the time because you don't give me the tools. You want to listen to your body. Listen, really listen to your body. Not in the language that you speak, but in its language, how it is trying to tell you. That when we help our horse is because we paid attention and saw the leg and that's how we knew. Because if we waited her to express some emotion, ain't going to happen. She's all kind of stoic and she's like sitting there and she's doing her deal and everything. But we're the ones that notice what's going on. And that because we pay attention to that. Why? Because we care about our horse. But how interesting that we can let our bodies go in so many ways and just not pay attention. We just don't want to pay attention to that. And I believe that deep down we do care about ourselves and we should pay attention and listen and be okay with saying, I'm overweight, I can't fix it tomorrow. But my body's trying to freaking tell me something. It's not telling me I need chicken cacciatore. It's telling me I need nutrients, micronutrients especially, to help my body deal with whatever stress I'm dealing with. And also, yeah, maybe I could also tackle the stress as well. The other stress, the job stress, the financial stress, the marriage stress. Maybe I can kind of lower that whole thing too for the purposes of my body and my health and my happiness and my joy in the modern world. How to live better. That's why I start every podcast every week, you guys, how to live better in the modern world. How to be more present in the modern world when we're bombarded with 15 billion bits of information that's not relevant to our immediate surroundings at every minute of every day. Except when you're listening to the Approaching the Natural podcast, right? Good. Okay. What else? Boy, I just kind of whipped through all that stuff. Amazing. Good. Moving on. Had some good runs with Sid. I've been tackling some of the trail running, but feeling really good at my runs. It has been a kind of an interesting thing. I find myself probably because of the cold. And look, you guys are making fun of me, but the thing is, I'll adjust and I'll be back out there with my rain slicker and everything. I just kind of got, all of a sudden, it was like really warm 2 weeks ago. Like it was unseasonably warm and then boom, it just hit. And I just haven't kind of dialed in on that yet. So I've been doing the trampoline a couple times a week, one to two times a week. I have definitely stayed with my integrated exercise. That's working extremely well. I'm doing a little more pull-ups than usual. If you're just joining me, my integrated exercise is that I split up some non-running time, but you've got your partitioned exercise, and then you've got what I call integrated exercise, which is the movement that you integrate throughout your day, not the time that you go, I'm going to exercise from this time to this time. It's throughout your day. So I jump down about every hour on average, and I do 20 push-ups and 20 squats, and I'm back in business. But on weekends, I find myself doing pull-ups just to mix things up. But when on an 8.6 miler with Sid, I'm running a lot less mileage. I probably will build that back up, but I don't know. I'm not really that, like, I don't have a goal. I'm not training and I'm just loving running. So I'm kind of in the 3-4 mile deal. And then I get up in the morning with Sid on Saturdays. We meet when she's not freaking late, like she was on Saturday by 42 minutes, and run a long run, which is very fun and social and everything else. So I kind of got it dialed in right now. Things are kind of okay. No big upset. It's happening. It's good. How do I keep that going? How do I, maintain that? Boom. Segue. Are you kidding me? 115 episodes, and I'm just finally nailing the segues. I mean, I'm just getting there. And you guys don't even know what happened. They're like, what happened? He's already in the subject of the podcast. We didn't see that coming. So seamless what that was. High maintenance. I think that a lot of the perception of being healthy and happy, it's all perception, right? But this speaks to the struggle of that I talk about all the time. You know, the sort of the stereotype of the high maintenance person. They need a lot. They need to be maintained. We find ourselves sometimes in relationships or with people who we say they're very high maintenance, meaning it takes a lot to keep them happy. We have to attend to their needs every second. We have to make sure that they've got everything they need. And oftentimes that means at the expense of ourselves for sure when we're maintaining. But what I'm talking about here, and that's not unrelated, by the way, but what I'm talking about here is that I find that sometimes we spend more time maintaining who we're being rather than ever asking ourselves who we are. And in a sense, we can be a high maintenance person. And that means to me that that's not even us. We're maintaining the person that we're actually not. And we spend a lot of energy maintaining that person, the person who needs, I need this level of pleasure at every meal. It's, oh my gosh, I got to make all this effort to maintain this person. It's a weird split. It always is this weird split. It's the me, if you're just joining me, the me, not me game. Go back and listen to old episodes. The me, not me game is a fascinating thing to me because it's why I talk about it all the time. Because first of all, I think it solves so much. And the feedback I've gotten from you guys, you know, proves that for me in some sort of non-scientific way. But it's successful, and I've gotten really good feedback saying it really works. Why? Because it removes the judgment. I go, that's not me. But what occurs to me is how much we spend time maintaining the not me. We make sure that the not me gets all the pleasure. That's why I dial back, by the way. Well, I dial back because the dessert that I don't really want is feeding the not me. And it's like, I better get that because I, you know, it's for whatever reason. But it's not really me, and the dial back day is totally more me. That's why it's not restrictive at all. It's totally more me to be that in charge to where I break something up, where I break up that weeks of just, this is what I do every Tuesday and Wednesday and through, you know, every day I have dessert, no matter if I really want it or not. And then I take a dial back day, go, okay, really, what do I want? Like, where should I dial back today? I hope it changes again. I hope I try something else completely different. Who knows? But the whole point is that it's the dial back. So instead of maintaining the not me, the dial back day is maintain. It's a much more low maintenance thing. It's maintaining the me who doesn't need that stuff at every minute. I talked about hunger last week. How hard it is for just us to feel hungry for a moment. because we're maintaining the not me who has to be fed. As soon as I feel that pang of hunger, as soon as I have that craving, I must need calcium because I'm craving ice cream. I got to feed it right now. That's high maintenance. I need this much attention. I need attention immediately. Right? I mean, that's the relationships we get in where people who we know sometimes are so high maintenance, they just need so much of our attention. But sometimes if you look at your not me, you realize that person is the thing that needs that much attention, and that ain't you. And it's good to know that that's not you, because you can go, wow, I spent a lot of time maintaining the person who thinks that he or she needs so much attention all the time, when really, when I take a second, I really don't need that much attention all the time. I'm okay with myself. I'm okay. I'm self-sufficient. I need this much attention every day. Think about this. Think about all the things that we take to maintain the not me. Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, prescription medications, blood pressure medications, cholesterol meds, asthma medications. This is to maintain the not me. When I had asthma for the first 24 years of my life and just on chronic inhalers, those inhalers were maintaining something that wasn't me. It was maintaining it by using the drug to allow me to what? Function in the world. Tylenol allows us to get to work when we have a headache. Blood pressure medication helps us do the things we do without dropping dead from a heart attack. But the fact of the matter is that is those are maintenance, high maintenance models. And sometimes necessary. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're high maintenance models. That is a fact. Whether you have to stay on them for the rest of your life or not, that's a very high bar of maintenance dug in and ingrained in your existence day to day, just like the inhaler was for me. I needed it to maintain a certain quality of life for me back then. Until what? Until I changed the circumstance and allowed my body to do its job better. And then I did not need that anymore. And I was low. I required less maintenance day to day in my life. I mean, that if you look at it, I mean, if you look, repeated diets, you could look at that. Repeated diets maintain our existence day to day. It makes us not just say, forget it, I'm out of here. It says, okay, I can't really make real change, but I can go on periodic diets because it maintains the not me. It gets me to look at a scale weight and gets me to a certain scale weight and gives me a little bit of break and lets me be happy for the moment that I weigh 142.4 pounds for the 4 weeks that I do before I gain all the weight back that I had before I started the diet. But those are high maintenance models. Those are things that we need to implement in our lives such that we can get through day to day. I mean, for most of us, including me, from time to time, it takes a maintenance to just get through the freaking day. You've got kids and jobs and everything else that we're grappling with, and it's all we can do to just get through the day. We've got to maintain a certain level just to get. That's our bar. Can I just get through the day? I just got to get through the day. That's my bar. Forget about healthy and happy. Forget about thriving. Forget about having a ton of energy and being in a good mood. I just got to get through the day. How low is that bar? How high maintenance do we need to be to just achieve that bar? That's amazing. So the question is, who are you always? I mean, all the things that are built into the lifestyles of the modern world, TV, movies, entertainment, are there to maintain us so that we're all not blowing our heads off. Sorry, but that's kind of what it is. It's like we need that so we are high maintenance. Until we realize more and more over time through the practice for which I advocate, that we actually don't need this stuff. We don't need to be maintained at that level. We can be not just as happy with less, but more happy with less. In fact, as we utilize less, we actually be, it's inversely proportional. As you allow yourself to shed the things that you've thought you've needed to maintain you at every freaking second of every day, you realize, whoa, I've been missing out on a lot of happiness. Oh, cool. I'll keep on this route. I'll keep in this direction. So, high maintenance. Now, I'm going to make a little bit of a tangent here, because I wanted to talk about sort of interpersonal conflict. this is something I've been dealing with that, you know, time to time people get in arguments and you get in conflicts with people. And so this is kind of what happens with me. And I wanted to sort of just lay it down here as part of the approach in the natural world. When I've had, and recently, you know, that you get into like a conflict with somebody, an argument, usually it's BS and you know, just something stupid, right? But you got to get over it and you get past and everything else. But there's that thing in my mind anyway, when I have a conflict with somebody, when I have a confrontation, let's say. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, then it's like in your brain, in my brain anyway, I go through the desire in me, built into me and to all of us, is to figure out how to, I got to process this thing. I got to make sense of this thing. Why? So that I can get it back down into my, so I'm not obsessed with it and thinking about it all the time. I got to get my new, I got to get back to balance. Right, I talked about it last week. Like we have that drive. That's why we call our friends and go, "This is what happened. Can you believe what this person did?" And by the way, a good friend, the best friend for me, would say, "Yeah, you're so freaking wrong on that one. Like that was all you. Like you messed that up." And the success of that interaction, by the way, depends on the character of your friend and your character too. I talked about character building. I mean, this is what that is. If you have a good enough friend to be like, "I love you, but I think you actually didn't do that one right." And then we have the character over time via this small steps practice to say, "Oops, holy crap, I didn't do that right." And it's resolved super fast. And then we have the opportunity to fix that problem. But what I do find day to day is if I have something like this and I'm going in my brain and all these things are swirling around my brain, right? We've all heard it, the hypotheticals. It's in our voice. It sounds like us going through these hypotheticals back and forth, things that we haven't even talked about, the next conversation, here's how we think it's going to go, and here's the things that we're going to say about it. But what I realize is these are distractions from who I am. And I just want to know in that second, and this is what I'm teaching myself to say, is have I done everything in this situation that I, not the not me, but the me, have I done all the things that I want to do in this situation? If I haven't, then I hope I do that to move on. But if I have, then I need to figure out how to move on and just stop whirling these things in my brain. Now, I'm not saying I could just stop. I'm just saying that's what I need to do. That's the top 10 list. Just stop thinking about stuff like that. Okay, great, great, great. But what I am learning through my own practice, and by the way, this is speaking exactly to why I journal and exactly to why I deep breathe, because I'm getting very, very good over time, more and more. Never going to be perfect, thank goodness. But more and more of a time, really quickly jumping out of when I feel stress and when I feel these things and I hear these conversations in my head, I'm getting quicker and quicker at recognizing and jumping into a deep breath. And here's the other thing. Starting to apply thought to things that I want to do, things that make me happy, my next YouTube video, ideas for the podcast, what I want to write about next. I mean, the things that actually make me happy. And I'm able to funnel, instead of saying, I've got to stop doing this, I funnel my energy into, okay, that's there, but let me talk about, okay, I want to talk about ideas. I want to think about what I want to do next. I want to blah, 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 blah. All the things that make me happy. But I have to be honest, there's a crapshoot aspect of this. And again, it's kind of a tangent, but this is the maintenance of this, right? I mean, this is, you have to understand that like the hypotheticals in my brain that I'm going through, these conversations that we all have, that is maintenance. That's how high maintenance I am just to deal with a conflict or a confrontation that's not even occurring anymore. It happened. I can either fix it or not. But every second I spend conversing with my own character, the other guy in my brain who is, and it's always a guy, by the way, because guys are bad. But anyway, going back and forth with this person who exists in reality, by the way, but in my head, totally different, is the perfect enemy in my head, because everything they say, I've got the perfect response to. They say exactly what I need them to say so that I can respond exactly how I want to respond. And every moment I spend doing that is a waste of my time, a colossal waste of my time. And to me, I just like knowing that right now. I'm not on top of that yet. That's just, I'll be honest, because I'm transparent here. I'm not on top of that yet. I am not, and may never be, but I will tell you that I'm making great strides in recognizing faster and faster. Oops, there's that conversation again. Okay. Now, instead of going, why am I still thinking about it? Blah, blah, blah. I go, okay, what else can I think about that's better off for me? And then eventually it leads back to the thing, blah, 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 the chatter happens, boom, I'm back into present. Okay, let me think about something else. And I'm teaching myself this tool. I'm teaching myself this thing to allow me to what? Be happier. Now, I will tell you that my fear of doing things like this is I always, and this is for years, and I don't know where this comes from. Certainly not from my not so hot cocoa. Is I want things to be resolved because I don't want things to fester. I mean, this has been a thing of like, well, if I move on and what if it's not processed? What if it stays and I've kind of compartmentalized that I don't want to be somebody who shoves things down and then they just sit there and end up getting sick as a result. I want to be let things out so that I can process and move on in a responsible, to me, appropriate manner so that I'm not holding on to anger and holding on to resentment. So the crapshoot is, as I move on and say, okay, well, I'm going to think about this thing now. I'm actually going to think. I'm not going to, you know, it's not an active thought to have these conversations in my head. It's not me directing. It's happening in a way. And I want to say, okay, now let me do some intentional thought, directed thought to the things that give me joy. Songwriting, music, family. I don't want to stew. I mean, that's what that is. I don't want things to fester, but how do I know? How do I know by moving on purposefully and with intention, I'm not leaving something behind in me that has to still be processed? And the answer is I don't necessarily know, except to say how I listen, this is coming back to how I listen to my body. How I know if I'm putting on weight because that's a stress response. How I know if I'm getting sick. I haven't been sick. It's 115 episodes. Go check your records. Go back every week. Okay? Little stuffiness here and there, but freaking running every day. Okay? How do I know? Am I generally happy? Is my family life happy? Or am I so distracted and so distraught at this thing that it's actually affecting my day-to-day? How do I know is that I come back to the moment via my small steps approach and say, is my moment being robbed? How many of my moments, of course it's being robbed, but how often? Is my time with my child being robbed? Is the time with my wife being robbed? Okay, well then I should process it. But is it going to help to process it by going through hypothetical things, or is it going to help to process it by talking to my wife who I trust to tell me I'm full of crap? To say, what do you think about this? Did I F this up? And her saying, yeah. And me going, that pisses me off, but yeah, I have to freaking love you because I totally appreciate that you would tell me that. There is a difference between what we think about and what we care about. There's a difference between what we think about and what we care about. And what I mean by that is we'll think about these hypotheticals, but they're not what we care about. And we can learn to shift over time via this practice. And this does relate, like I said, to deep breaths, to journaling, to even, I'm going to make a stretch here, but eating heavier box food, whatever brings intentionality to you. You know, we can think about the Ben and Jerry's, but we can also eat something different in that moment because we care about our health. And we can assess that and say, well, I've been doing Ben and Jerry's for the last 4 nights, and so I'm going to dial back because I'm going to think about that Ben and Jerry's all day, but what I care about is my health, and what I care about is resetting my clock, and so I'm doing that. I mean, there is so much wasted time on chatter, and part of the reason why I like the dial back day is because I notice quickly how often I think about food during my dial back day. I mean, and I go, that's a waste of my time. I'm good to know that. Why is it a waste of my time? Because that's not me. Maybe for you, you like to think about food and that gives you pleasure. Fine, there's no judgment. I'm just saying for me, I don't want to think about food that much. So for me to dial back, great. Because then I can get focused on, what do I care about here? Do I really care about food that much? Is it really the number one thing that without which I can't be happy? Or do I care about the work that I do? Do I care about my family? Do I care about music? All these kinds of things. It gets me more in touch with that whole thing. The picture of the high maintenance, the model of that high maintenance is that I don't need food at every second. I don't need to be maintained that way. I think that I do, but it's not me. The person that needs to be maintained with pleasurable meals all the time and dessert no matter what isn't me. And so much maintenance goes into that, but I'm the one to break that and say, the me of it is, I actually need a lot less. I need low maintenance. I don't need much from me or anybody else. I don't require, I don't want my wife to feel like she has to maintain me, and me nor her. I want us to be equals in our relationship, and that's what we work towards, so that we, of course, we help each other, and I love serving her and everything, but I don't want to maintain. I don't want to have to be at her beck and call. That's not how I roll, and that's not how she rolls, thank goodness. It comes down to repeatedly, the more inside we go via my small steps, via adding things in week to week, adding little steps, via engaging in your life, the more we do that, the more inside we go, the more we understand the me, and that we understand that sometimes the not me is the thing that's in the world, the thing that is demanding such high maintenance. And we go, oh my God, that person is dominating. We're not only are other people maintaining this person who's not me, I'm actually spending a lot more time maintaining that person than the actual me. I'm the one going out of my way to have a job, to get enough money, to buy enough toys when I don't really need that whole model. And I remember when I didn't have that stuff and I was way happier. What happened? The more inside we go, here's the deal, guys, the less we need outside. And I talked about it last week. We get pleasure and joy from stuff outside of us, but we get happiness from inside of us. And when we have happiness inside of us, most of the time, we need a lot less of the stuff outside, and we definitely need a lot less high maintenance. We're a lot less high maintenance in that model because we don't need stuff from outside. Maintenance in that way comes from outside things. Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, prescription meds, attention from people in our lives, pleasurable meals. These are outside things that we throw at ourselves just to maintain, just to get through the day. I get it. And I don't want to take that away from people. I want people to get on top of it themselves to understand that we don't have to be so high maintenance. We don't need to be maintained by other people all the time. We're not children, adults who are listening to this, unless you're six listening to this. We don't need to be maintained the way that we did when we were kids. We don't. You might be, but we don't. And I've seen it many times where I come across people who have, you know, that whole orthorexia thing, the unhealthy relationship to healthy food, the lists of things what they require for maintenance. It's massive. It's a high maintenance, and they're not happy. I don't care how healthy their diet is. And actually, they're not healthy, which is ironic. But there's such a level of high maintenance, that there's such a high level of maintenance that to just maintain that person to get through the day creates an energy suck that affects people far and wide. And we don't need, there's just so much that we attend to. And I mentioned the interview last week, like you have the confidence and you have the self-esteem to where you care less and less about the individual. You don't really worry less. You worry less and less about the individual questions because you know yourself. You've gone inside, so you need less outside. You don't need to know the interview questions that are coming. You don't need to know because you know yourself and you know where you stand, and whatever they ask you, you have an answer for it, and it's real because you know. I've mentioned, I don't even know how many episodes ago, but the idea of the arsenal of experience, that through this small step process, you build an arsenal of experience such that you have the knowledge and you have the experience to draw upon. You build that up through this. You don't get it from diets and you don't get it from any quick fixes. But when you go through the process, when you go through the process of thinking about things, how you want to live, who you truly are, the experience that you get from that, even that process, and then the results of that process, build an arsenal of experience such that you need anything outside of you so much less. You basically get to the point over time where you go, I don't really know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty confident I can handle it. I had friends when I was acting full time. I'm so like of the, I was raised sort of like this more traditional way, like getting a job, knowing where your paycheck comes from. Excuse me. And I remember when I went full time acting, was massive for me. It's such a hard decision. Like I did not have financial freedom. Like I wasn't financial. I'm not independently wealthy. I didn't have a ton of money in the bank. Like I had just enough for maybe for like a couple months, but I seemed to be getting enough acting work. And I just took this weird leap. I don't really remember why I did it at the time. It was totally out of character for me. But I had friends at the time and they were like, I remember I did this one TV show and there was an actor there and he goes, I just figure I'm going to get work. I sometimes I don't, and then I just figure it's going to come. Like, I just know it's going to come. I could never, still to this day, I don't feel 100% comfortable with that. Not even close. It's such a foreign way of thinking for me, but I will say I'm getting better at it. I will say I've made strides in that direction. Not that magic is going to happen, but that somehow I'm going to figure that out. And I remember actually telling my wife at the time, I said, I think I need to quit my job. I had a full-time job working at UCLA in the audiovisual department, which was amazing. But I had started to work as an actor. And so I told her. And it was at this time where she had recently quit her job and had started her own design firm. Totally risky, right? So here I'm going, I think I need to quit my job. Like, I just don't want to do it anymore. I'm doing music, which is going well, and I've been acting, and I think I need to leave this job. I'm not happy in this job. And her response was, we'll figure it out. Not, no, you can't. We need your paycheck. No, you can't. She was like, okay, we'll figure it out. And it was like, that's amazing. That's her. Like, that's way better. I mean, at that point, I was like, what? And it was such a hard decision for me. But at some point, you get the confidence and self-esteem through this process of engaging your life this way, getting distracted in a way, right? Getting less distracted by the things that we fool ourselves into thinking will get us this, but diets and quick fixes and things that'll give us a flat stomach and therefore we'll be confident. But when you actually build in real confidence, when you actually need less, when you don't require high maintenance, then you can start saying, okay, I'm building this arsenal. I've got this stuff from which to draw. Whatever happens to me, I'm gonna get through it. I'm gonna figure out a way to get that done. Otherwise, we get mired in the stress of what could happen. What could happen? This person's gonna maybe get angry at me. What's gonna happen if I do this? What's gonna happen if a terrorist attack happens? We can get obsessed with these things, and I do too, and we can't get caught. We get so caught up in these things, those are wasted moments, and it's good to know, and we can't turn it off in the moment, but we can learn how to get past it by engaging in our lives, and when we realize we're getting a little obsessed with something and we can't stop thinking about something, we don't judge ourselves and say, you're bad for still thinking about that. You're stupid. Why can't you stop thinking about that? We say, I got that going on right now, but right now I'm going to take a little break and I'm going to start thinking about something else that gives me joy. I'm going to start texting somebody who I love, who I've been in touch with. I need to re-engage with that person. Why? Because it's going to bring me joy and bring me out of that whole rigmarole. And we dial back in that way. How high maintenance are you? How high maintenance? Just answer the question. Just answer the question. Sorry, there's a Breakfast Club reference. How high maintenance are you? Are you okay to even ask that question? If you're not, don't ask it yet. But if you are, say, wow, I feel like I really do need a lot of stuff just to maintain me. And I'm not really that happy, ironically, because I'm getting a ton of stuff. I'm getting healthy. I'm getting super pleasurable meals at every minute, but I'm not healthy. I'm high maintenance. I demand people's attention. I demand these regularities of satisfaction. But I'm not really that happy as a result of it. What can I do to make myself less needy, less high maintenance to myself and to others? What can I do? What's the best thing I can do tomorrow, starting tomorrow? Can I do one deep breath tomorrow? Will that help me engage? Yes, it will. Can I write a sentence in a journal? Will that help me sort of engage and figure these things out over time? Yes, it will. Can I begin to add in some heavy box food to engage in that way? Will that help? Yeah, it will. Can I walk around for a minute twice a day in my hallway, in my office, just to get up and take a few deep breaths? Will that help? Yeah, it will. Absolutely. And it'll build over time, and you begin to build your practice and to build your arsenal of experience of what it's like to be a healthy and happy person starting now. It's what that's like. What is that like? What's it like to not have to need a super pleasurable meal at every time? What's it like? Can I dial back one little thing and see if I can get through that? Well, if I can, which of course you can, then you go, oh, I can get through that. That's knowledge. That gets banked. Saved. Boom. You can draw on that next time. And that's how it works. All right? And it also works by you guys coming back here every week to the Approaching the Natural podcast, I hope as a reminder, and I hope as, you know, to hope it helps you do your deal. Okay? Email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. If you have any questions, comments, or whatever, throw me an iTunes review if you don't mind. Can you just take a minute? Okay. Okay, don't. Okay, fine. Fine. Woo, woo. Touch the nerve. All right, you guys are doing great. Hey, I'll be back next week because you know I will. This is the Approaching the Natural podcast. Sid Garza-Hillman signing off. All right, you guys. Be well.
Even when everything dear is running out, and everything cold is setting up around me, all these distractions, I'm waiting to see what I am against, what I am against, what I am against. And all the violence sings, and I know that I am tiring you out, and I know that I am trying your patience. Well, this bit of indecision is, it is keeping me down. All the complications that strike only the true, it's like I'm on the ground with eyes closed, like I'm dreaming, I am waking up. And emerging from all of this, I'm waiting to see what has come up against me, what has come up against me. And all the violence sings, keeping me down. fear is fucking me up. And I know my thoughts are weaving through tangents. With all these fits of indecision, they are keeping me down.